Finding a therapist who accepts your insurance can be hard. That's why Alma is making it easier to find someone in network. They help therapists accept insurance so that more people can access affordable mental health care. In fact, people who use their insurance for sessions through Alma save an average of 77% on the cost of therapy. When you browse their online directory, you'll see thousands of mental health care professionals who offer both virtual and in-person sessions. Just select your insurance plan to filter by coverage, then use other qualities like specialty and area of concern to narrow down your search. And if you're not sure what your plan covers, Alma can help with that too. Their free cost estimator tool makes it easy to understand your benefits and see what sessions will cost before you schedule your first appointment. Book a free consultation with a therapist today at helloalma.com/therapy60. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Hi, this is Carla from Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards. We are Texas Aggies, but base our publishing headquarters in Austin, Texas. I want to let you in on a little secret about greeting cards and the people that write them. We really have a sense of humor, and we love to encourage others. We talk like we write, with a few words that matter the most, and we try to avoid cliches. You will enjoy sending these popular cards that feature eagles and hummingbirds from Alabama's Larry Martin, along with some of the prettiest flowers. Each unique card says something witty and inspiring. What's different about us? It's our incredible artists, combined with the passion translation. Here's an example of how the passion inspires. You have supercharged my life so that I can soar again like a flying eagle in the sky, from Psalm 103. We publish greeting cards in convenient 12-packs. It's like having a card shop in your own home. So every time you need a card, you have them handy. So visit gracefully-yours.com to buy greeting cards where art and message connect to your heart.
Welcome back to Success Made to Last, Author's Corner. I'm Rick Tocchini. This show is presented by Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, along with Play Audio. We thank both of those sponsors for their long-standing support. And our very special guest today is author Joe Judge. He has written this profound book called Leadership is Overcoming the Natural, 52 Maxims to Move Beyond Instinct. And a little bit about Joe. He has spent his entire adult life working with people. And as a young pastor within the Lutheran Church, he was introduced to leadership development through a partnership with the Center for Creative Leadership, which, by the way, I've been to. And he has created clear possibilities, and I want him to talk about that as well. Joe, welcome to Success Made to Last.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
It's good to have you on, too. And as Paul Harvey used to say, we like to hear the rest of the story. So tell us about your background.
Great. Well, I was a blue-collar kid that grew up in the country between Baltimore and Washington, a dirt road between two farms, and loved it. And had no ambition to do anything beyond be a blue-collar kid and work. And grew up working in restaurants and gas stations and those kinds of things, and loved it. And at the last minute, went to college, literally at the last minute, and went off to New York to a little school, and life started to change. That's where I decided it was time to become a student, because I had not been one at that point in my life. And that's been a driving factor, because I had 17 years to make up for. And I feel like I've been doing that ever since, to be honest. And I met my wife in college and started to do some things other than pursue a dollar, which is all I'd done at that point. I worked with special needs kids one summer at a camp, and that had a profound impact on me. And after camp that summer, I went back to college and found myself as a youth director at a church in Westport, Connecticut. And those people said, you ought to go to seminary. And you know, I was really good at following directions at that point in my life. And so I did that and got married, went to seminary out in St. Louis, It was a wonderful place for me to be at that time of my life, but it was a box that never quite fit me, to be honest. And I got involved with Center for Creative Leadership when they were working with the Lutheran Church to help develop clergy, which in irony, looking back on that, it required 8 years of school to get ordained. And there wasn't one class on people management. And I was profoundly aware of the fact that I had no skills in that area. And when I went to a Center for Creative Leadership as a participant, I came home and I told my wife, I said, I love the way these people think. And Rick, I think what that meant to me the most was I knew these people could teach me some things that I was missing. And so I went on and, while I was in the church, I was doing adjunct work for the center, which I loved. And then at 40 made a transition full time into leadership development. And I honestly don't feel like I changed who I am. I feel like I just changed the platform.
Mm-hmm. And along the way, you've had these special roles as a husband and father and grandfather. Tell us about your wonderful family and how they what they mean to you at this age and stage of your life.
Yeah, so thank you. So my wife, Teresa, and I have been married 43 years, which just sounds old as dirt to say out loud. My kids have laughed at us because I was 21 and she was 22. We got married and I said, you know, you didn't go to seminary and move in with your girlfriend, right? You went to seminary, you either got married or you broke up. And I was not about to break up with your mom. And so we have been together a long time, and she has been a true sense of motivation for me. It was getting married and then having three children, which we have. Heather is our oldest, and then Brian, our son, and then our youngest, Kelly. And I truly am so grateful because I don't believe I had any motivation before them, to be honest. I think I was just a kind of happy-go-lucky, and you know, feeling that responsibility of family was a tremendous driver. All three of our kids are married and have really proud of them. They're just wonderful people. And we feel like we have six children, to be honest, because we love the people they married and they feel like our children as well. And then we have five little grandchildren. And I literally embarked on writing the book simply as a way to kind of capture my thoughts for the idea that my kids and grandkids might be interested one day. It had no expectation beyond that, to be honest.
I love that. I have to pause and tell you that if you are older than dirt, then Carla's and my 44 years of marriage is going to look like something out of a volcano. And we have two daughters, and the first one happens to be named Heather. So that must have been the name of the 1980s.
It was.
And we've got two grandchildren here in Austin. Yeah. So it's a great journey. And I love what you said, because we've been focused recently on one of my mentors is Bill Halamandaris, who was mentored by Viktor Frankl. And right. Viktor Frankl asked him one day, he said, I've got it written down here somewhere, what seeds have you planted that you will never see harvested? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you just landed on that with your book, Leadership is Overcoming the Natural. First question I've got about that book is, did your wife help you edit it, given that she's got 43 years of clawing at you?
She did not. Mike and I hired an editor, and What I lovingly say is that the only reason she stayed with me this long is her perfectionism. And there's so much in me to fix. But I will tell you that it was almost embarrassed to let anybody see it. Right. It just wasn't something that was probably my biggest journey into dealing with insecurity I had embarked on at that point in my life, was you put stuff down in writing and then do you really want anybody to read it?
Yeah, exactly. Will they read it and how will they vote on it? Your co-author is Michael Merrill. Tell me about that collaboration. How did you meet Michael and how did you two decide to write this?
Yeah, so it was really an interesting, I found it interesting. I One of the clients that I've had for years is America's Health and Insurance Plans, which brings the up and coming best of the best from every health plan together. And I've been involved in the leadership development for that for a while now. And every June, there's a new class of 60 executives from healthcare. And this one particular year, it was in San Diego. And I was out there and I get up in the morning and I go down to breakfast before the session starts to just kind of get a feel for the class. And I sat at a table with this gentleman and happened to be Mike Merrill and had never met him before. And we were just chatting and talking. And then I go and teach the class and he's in it. And he came up afterwards and he said, you don't have a book. I said, no, sir, I don't. And he said, you need a book. I said, no, sir, I don't. And he just kept going. And he had written down all these things. And he was very deliberate and insistent. And he kept saying, we're going to write a book. And I said, I'm going to let you down. I said, I get too busy. I'm going to let you down. It's not going to happen. I'm going to say no up front. But thank you for asking. And come to find out, Mike is one of these amazing people, truly amazing. His mind is like very few I've come across. And Mike put himself through Ivy League school and then was a journalist in Boston for a newspaper where he loved to write. And then he wakes up and decides he's going to go to medical school one day and he becomes a doctor. And then he becomes a chief medical officer and he's got a master's in business and he's got a social work degree. And he's one of these guys that just never stops learning. And so he promised finally, he said, I'll get you through it if you'll do it. And so, he had written down, much of what turned into the maxims during the 8-hour class I was doing that day out in San Diego. And we just started picking topics and I would think it through and we would get on a call every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And I would talk it, you know, by then I had thought through the topic and then he would type it as I would talk and then we would clean it up and, you know, make it look a little bit better. And we spent 3 years doing that. And I think it was the discipline of Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, knowing I couldn't let him down, and the collaboration with Mike. And then we went, we found a publisher for it after that and went through about a year long editing process to get the book out.
Mm. It's fascinating. It's great how God brings people together, isn't it?
It is. It wouldn't have happened without Mike. And I'm so clear about that.
Yeah. I love that. That's a fantastic story of collaboration. And it also says a lot about you that you decided to invest in that time and go outside of your comfort zone, because writing a book isn't the easiest thing to do. And
it is not.
Yeah. But you know, your approach with maxims is interesting because, gosh, if I showed you my bookcase here, it's full of books that have been written, or at least they start the chapter with a maxim. How is your book different from others that you've read in the past?
Yeah. So you know, Rick, what I was really clear about going into it is leadership, like parenting, there's not a book or an answer that teaches you how to do it. And I've read so many books on leadership over the years that were put together by somebody who had a moment of success. And I'm not dismissing that at all, right? That moment was significant. And people saw it and could celebrate it, but they were moments in that they don't last and they weren't transferable simply to another company. And so what I didn't want to do was create a book that said, this is how you lead, because I don't believe in those. Right. And what we didn't want to do was present anything that said, here's the answer. What we wanted to come up with were, what are the essential things for leaders to be able to reflect on, think about, and really work on in order to get better? Because if they get better, their leadership will get better. And so as we put it all down and put it all out, it literally broke into little, pretty easy to read, small chapters with some reflection questions at the end of each chapter, with the hope that these might just be things that would help people think differently about the job that they had embarked on.
Hmm. I like that. Diving into your book, you and I have lived through a lot in corporate cultures and how they've changed over the course of time. And I don't remember a single principle or tenet when I went to the Center for Creative Leadership about vulnerability. When did that come up, and when did it become so popular as a leadership trait?
So I think there's a couple of things around it, right? I think leaders themselves have changed greatly since the 70s and 80s. Yeah. And it used to be very much a dictatorial style, which worked because that worked to get us through World War II, right? It worked to get us through the Korean War. It worked in the past. And so we had this military type style. And then as it started to change and society started to change, what we started to see more and more was that there were just various styles out there, and not everybody was comfortable being the completely buttoned up individual that had all the answers.
Yep.
And then as we broke into the 2000s, something amazing happened, which was called technology. And I'll tell you, Rick, one of my funniest conversations one time with a client was he was so proud of all of the knowledge that he held in his business. And I looked at him with no disrespect, but just to try to break the subject a little bit. And I said, well, you know, everything you know, I can Google, right? And I wasn't sure if he was going to hit me or what, right? Or walk out of the room, but you could just see it. And then he finally, after a while, it's like he got it and said, yeah. And I said, it's not the knowledge that's important. It's what you do with it, right? And so we can't all pretend we have the answers. And I think because technology, the way it came in the early 2000s, especially, none of us have been where we are today. And so to act like we know how to do what we're doing when we have never been there before is foolishness. And people see through that. And so how do we allow vulnerability? And, you know, I tell leaders the best competency today sounds like, I don't know, let's figure it out. Right. Mm-hmm. Which we never heard that in the 70s. Right. Never heard that in the 70s. Right.
And it was a sign of weakness.
Yeah. And then Stephen Covey came out with, Lynn Cioni came out with the 5 dysfunctions. And what he said was, you can't build anything without trust, which I'm not sure of, to be honest. I don't, because I have met too many people who don't have the capability to trust. Right. And so I think that's a whole different subject to take. But what we do know is the only way you build trust is with vulnerability. And so vulnerability, I think, still for many people has a negative context of weakness. And yet the reality is it's one of the strongest things you ever do.
Hmm. Very good. Why should your book, Leadership is Overcoming the Natural, why should that be a mandatory reading for freshmen in high school, much less freshmen in college?
I believe today, more than at any other time, we need to rethink what leadership is. And I think that's literally, I grieve for where we're at today as a society around the topic of leadership. And I think what that means for me is we are so comfortable just responding and acting and reacting in the normal way that we have been taught, and somehow confuse that with leadership, and it's not leadership. And, you know, there's a thousand literally different ways to define leadership, but the test of leadership is always, are you able to bring people together and move them forward? And especially in such a highly divisive time in our country where people are so pitted against each other and so insistent on the fact that they're right. And none of those characteristics have anything to do with leadership, right? Because it's never about, are we right? It's about, can we make it work? And it's never about dividing people. It's always about bringing them together. And it's never about being the expert, but it's about being curious. And I don't think we have the right role models out there right now, to be honest. I don't think our kids can look up there as they're going into high school. And right, I don't think they get it's become the me generation. And leadership is about service, right? And success and significance is about service, right? And what can we do for other people? And yet we have a lot of folks out there that all they think about is, what can you do for me?
Yeah. Things have really never changed, I don't think. I think it's still about climbing the...
Finding a therapist who accepts your insurance can be hard. That's why Alma is making it easier to find someone in network. They help therapists accept insurance so that more people can access affordable mental health care. In fact, people who use their insurance for sessions through Alma save an average of 77% on the cost of therapy. When you browse their online directory, you'll see thousands of mental health care professionals who offer both virtual and in-person sessions. Just select your insurance plan to filter by coverage, then use other qualities like specialty and area of concern to narrow down your search. And if you're not sure what your plan covers, Alma can help with that too. Their free cost estimator tool makes it easy to understand your benefits and see what sessions will cost before you schedule your first appointment. Book a free consultation with a therapist today at helloalma.com/therapy60. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Tired of old, drafty, poorly crafted windows and doors that can't withstand Texas's hot summers and chilly winters? Turn to New South Window Solutions. As both the manufacturer and installer of custom replacement windows and doors, their high-quality products are built specifically for the Texas climate. New South's windows and doors are energy efficient and will keep your home comfortable all year round. Plus, with the lifetime guarantee, you can trust that their products will stand the test of time. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more and schedule your free in-home consultation. And going on now, when you buy two products, you'll get the third free. Upgrade your home with two New South windows or doors, and the third product and installation are absolutely free. Act now and save big. Head to NewSouthWindow.com today to learn about the customization options available and schedule your free in-home consultation. Don't miss the opportunity to upgrade your home with the ultimate window from New South Window Solutions. Learn more today at NewSouthWindow.com.
Ladder of success that's leaned up against the wrong building, the wrong wall. And despite what you and I might be striving to do, we've got a, it's going to be a long road of chipping ahead, chipping away at some hearts. I think it's down to a heart condition that's the issue. Mm-hmm. And what can we as parents and grandparents do to plant the right seeds and see if it actually harvests without being preachy about it? So I think I've been caught preaching too much on this show, and my primary coach, I've got lots of coaches, but my primary coach says, would you please stop doing that? Because people will not respond well to that form of leadership anymore.
Right. Right. I don't think they want to be told. And I think hopefully what we accomplished in the book was we gave them things to think about and figure out how do they apply to them.
There you go. Exactly. Yep. Well, let's take a break and tell us where we can purchase Leadership is Overcoming the Natural and get a signed copy of your book.
All right. So the best place to buy it is on Amazon, or you can listen to it on Audible. And to get a signed copy of the book, if you reach out to me at joe@clearpossibilities.net, I can arrange for that to happen to you.
Very good. Thank you, Joe. And we will be right back after this quick commercial message.
To all my brand and marketing leaders out there, I want to let you in on a little something. Audio advertising is one of the most efficient ways to speak to your consumer. I mean, you hear me now, right? The best way to take advantage of audio is to find the right audio agency who can help you navigate all the ins and outs of digital broadcast and podcast advertising. And I found the perfect partner for you, and that's Play Audio Agency. Say it with me, Play Audio Agency. Play offers services that cover advertising and communication, audio branding, podcasting, original brand music, and more. Let them deliver an audio strategy that drives a deeper emotional connection to your consumer while you sit back and do the things that you love, like listening to my podcast. Hey, find them at playaudioagency.com to harness the power of sound for your brand. That's Play, P-L-A-Y, audioagency.com to learn more.
And we are back with our special guest, Joe Judge. His book is Leadership is Overcoming the Natural 52 Maxims to Move Beyond Instinct. Hey, before we move into our crazy question round, what was the 53rd maxim that didn't make the book?
That is a great question. There were literally about 30 that didn't make it.
Give me one. Oh, you don't have to do that. But I mean,
I wish I could.
Right. That means there's a sequel. Here's the 30 that didn't make it that you should have known that would have helped you overcome.
No, it's you know, we got there and then we started to distill it down and the editor helped us with it. And, you know, it just took shape. And then all of a sudden 52 became a magic number. Somebody wanted to do one a week.
There you go.
So that was where the cutoff came in.
Keep us in rhythm. Okay. So over the course of the last 15 years of podcasting, we've amassed this list of questions. And what I do as the host is from the first half of the show, I try to listen carefully and then pick out the questions that I think may apply to you so we can learn more. And I have a special intention on why I'm asking this first question. If you live in Austin, Texas, there is a radio station that plays George Strait on the 8s. That means that you get George Strait twice an hour. And he sings a song that goes, "There's a difference in living and living well." So what's the difference for you?
So the difference for me is understanding that our job is the place where we practice for life. Mm. And I think a lot of people don't quite understand that. And what I remind people constantly is that as much as we might care about the people we work with, chances are they're not going to be the people sitting on our front porch at the end of the day, right? When we're retired, when we're out there in the world, when we hit a certain age. And so how do we practice that work to become the best people for the people we want to be on the front porch with us, if that makes sense? Oh. And right. And so I believe that the way we do one thing is the way we do everything. So if you avoid hard conversations at work, you're avoiding them at home. If you avoid connecting at work, you're avoiding connecting at home, right? It's like we're the same person. And, you know, for me, the biggest disconnect, Rick, is that I hear people define the word integrity as what you do when nobody's looking, which I just think is a horrible definition. Integrity for me is about integration of everything in your life. And so it comes from the word integrate. And so what I'm constantly looking at literally is, what's that next area of my life that's not quite as integrated as it needs to be? And how do I work on that? And I think that's what makes a difference in life, because there's 100 ways to make money, but you only get one life. And so how do you focus on the things that are most important?
There you go. Thank you for that. And next is, why is the word retirement not in the Bible?
Because I don't think we were built to retire. I think we're built to transition. And I believe life is lived in chapters, and chapters all have different lengths, but they're different chapters. And so I think we're built to move from one chapter to the next chapter to the next chapter. And when we just give up and stop, I think we're sitting on a whole lot of gifts and abilities that that we're wasting. And I think the body deteriorates too quickly at that point.
Thank you. You are now a member of our club that will never retire. You're member number eight. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's talk about smart collaborations. Besides the one with your wife and the one with Michael that we stated earlier, I want, if you can, share a story of when you collaborated with a client and how you moved them from just making profit to a company of purpose.
Yeah. So I think the thing I learned early on, and I think I learned this in the church, right? But it then helped me as a consultant. And what I learned is you don't know as much as you think you know, and you need to collaborate, and you need to understand what the needs are on the other end and figure out how do you start to meet those needs. And so I hope that what you would hear from all my clients is that collaboration was really important. I always want to know what their agenda, what their needs, what do they need to see done in order to feel good about the engagement, right? Because I don't want to ever walk away from an engagement and then have the client feel like their needs weren't met. And so there's a lot of collaboration about how to do it and where to do it and the best way to achieve that. I think one of the best for me was it's renowned health system out in Reno. And I went out there years ago. It was called Washoe Health System before it changed its name. And they had a good bit of growth and yet dysfunction going on. I showed up the first day and there was a huge rat on top of the hospital because they were in a union negotiation, and they had all of this stuff going on. And I had convinced them the best I could that most of the issues in the workplace are over people feeling heard and respected. And if they feel heard and respected, that's not really a union issue. It's just a supervisory issue. Mm-hmm. And so we did some little things and made some changes. And I wound up working with a whole lot of the leadership in the hospital system back then. It was a wonderful chapter in my life, very touching. Got to meet lots of wonderful people. And in about a year and a half, the CEO came in and he told me that they had never been more profitable. And it was people being inspired to be their best self and figure out how the job fit into their life rather than just showing up for work. And learning that everything they did affected people around them and the difference that they made. I'll tell you a story about that. When Jim Miller was a CEO, he passed away a few years ago. And he called me up one day when I was in there, and he called me to his office, and it was a little intimidating, wasn't sure what was up. And he said, "I'm going to a board meeting today. And since you've been working with my executive team, three people have quit. What should I tell them?" And I just, like, it was one of those God moments, to be honest, Rick, where I didn't know what to say. I just, like, and I looked at him and I said, "Tell them they didn't pay me enough." And he said, "What?" I said, "Tell them they didn't pay me enough." And he said, "What are you talking about?" Right. He was all flustered. I said, "You had three people on your executive team who absolutely did not want to be on the executive team. They wanted to be doing something different with their life. And you know what? When you have people who aren't in the right spot and you help them get to the right spot for their life, it frees you up to hire people who this is the right spot for." And for me, it's always been the people and their lives are always so much more important than the job. And I think that's where we have to start.
Yeah, that's right. You know, when you're at that zero moment of truth, though, and you're letting a person go and they don't see it, but you're trying to play Moses and lead the great exodus, their exodus out of the company into something greater and greener, and they don't see it. Boy, that's one of the great moments of leadership when you do that, and then you see them excel within some other company. That's right. Or owning their own company. What an opportunity for leadership that we sometimes are burdened about letting people go, but how about letting people go to something great?
Well, and Rick, the biggest misconception I see is that because most people are conflict avoidant, they get themselves worked up to deal with those kind of issues. And the mistake that they make, and I preach to this people all the time, and a bad fit doesn't mean a bad person. And don't make the person into a bad person to give yourself permission to move them along. Mm-hmm. Just acknowledge that it's a bad fit. Give them a hug. Thank them for what they've done. Help them make it, but don't be disrespectful to somebody. And I just see that so many times in the workplace where somebody, they turn them into a bad person, and everybody turns on that person. And that's where the tragedy comes in, really.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's talk about PTSD from corporate life. And I don't want to make fun of the dis-ease of PTSD, but to put shed a little bit of light on it, my P comes from PepsiCo, traumatic disorder. Mm-hmm. Not Procter & Gamble, my two companies, nor Paramount, which is kind of like, can you get away from a company that starts with a P? And now I'm in podcasting and publishing. It's like the five Ps.
There you go.
I often have dreams about my work there. And it was a frustrating environment. And I'm wondering what you've discovered in your guidance of leaders about what keeps them up at night and what's disturbing to them and what has traumatized them about their experience and how can they get over it?
Yeah. So I think that's a great question. Right. And let me do my best to give an answer that'll make sense. Right. The times are changing, right? You and I grew up in a time where we didn't question the people that we worked for. Right. We did what we were told and we said, thank you. And the more they pushed and pulled and shoved on us, the more we just nodded our head and we accepted that. We have seen in that transition that we talked about earlier with technology and everything else and the younger generations coming in, they are not nearly as gracious, right? If you don't treat them right, they will leave. And that's the biggest issue that I'm seeing among top executives right now, is how do they balance the needs of the work with the needs of the employee? And there are companies that go too far with that, right? And then they're not able to be successful because they're taking such good care of the employees, right? And then they don't have accountability and people aren't doing the job. And then you have companies that are a little bit too firm. And so how do they get people who can handle that? And that's literally the changing times, COVID, the remote work, the right, which by the way, during remote work was the first time in the history of our country we ever saw the leverage shift from the employer to the employee. We'd never seen that before, right? And think about it, that was only a couple of years ago, right? So we're still in that. And I'm just seeing CEOs really struggle with how do they balance that workforce and all of the needs as it has changed, while the demand on the company has not gotten any less. Mm-hmm. Right?
You're still seeking to perform at a better level, better results. It's still numbers. It's still mm-hmm. profitability. It's still numbers. It's still results.
Mm-hmm.
But inside that, though, let's talk about what may keep you up at night, because unless you're just a sound sleeper and everything's perfect. What keeps you up relative to your own leadership?
Yeah, so there's a lot keeps me up at night, and I'm not the best sleeper. And you know, the biggest thing that keeps me up at night, Rick, is finishing well. Right, I have no confusion at all of my own humanity and the role that plays for each one of us, and how easy it is to slip and fall. And move in a different direction because you make a hasty decision, or you're not at your best when you show up where you needed to be at your best. And I really want to finish well. And what that means for me literally is at the end of my life, my wife and kids say he loved us and he never stopped trying. Right. That's literally all that finishing well means for me. I hope my clients say I cared. Right. And, they don't have to say I was effective or ineffective or anything, but that they get that I cared about them and I did my best. The state of what we've done to our young people keeps me up. I believe as a society, we have communicated the message that they are not capable. And that's the worst message you can give to a child, is that you're not capable of handling your life. I'll handle it for you. I got a text from a nephew who's in college in Florida. And he said, my mom thought you would enjoy this. And it was a schedule that they sent to him on when they're going to come clean his bathroom. Right. And I'm like, what is this? Right. I mean, it's like, these are college kids. Right. And it's like, and I sent him a note and I said, well, who cleans your bathroom when you graduate? Right. I mean, it's, and if you just think about that, right, all the different things we're doing to cater to a younger generation out of love, right, comes from a good place. I believe that. But I think the message we're giving them is you're not capable. And they are capable. They're not capable of doing their life the way we want it, but they're capable of doing their life the way they need to do it. And one of the things that I stress with the successful executives that I work with is none of us get where we're going in a straight line. And yet we're so worried about letting them get into a crooked line. And yet that's what they need. They need to figure it out. They need to fail out of college. They need to fall on their face, and they need to have a disgusting bathroom, right? Until they finally learn, oh, I can clean this, right?
It's, yeah, consequences.
And, right. And you have to learn, and you have to learn by doing. And that, you know, I love kids. I just love them. And the younger generation is so smart, but we need to understand they are capable. They can figure this out. We got to get out of their way.
It's so true. Well, you have been a delight to have on the show, and I dearly appreciate this new friendship, and you are welcome back anytime. You don't have to release a book. I think I want to invite you on at least once a year to give a State of the Union address on leadership, okay?
I would love to, Rick. And I got to tell you, one of my favorite clients of all time is in your backyard, and I worked with Whataburger for years.
Did you really?
And I go to San Antonio and worked with the Dobsons as they were going through the sale of it, and the executive team. And I love those folks down there. So I show up in Texas quite a bit. So, you know,
yeah, they are true Texans.
They are true Texans. But I thank you so much for the privilege of being on your show today.
You bet. That was Joe Judge. What a delight. His book is Leadership is Overcoming the Natural, 52 Maxims to Move Beyond. Hey, thanks again, Joe. And folks, as we always say here, we wish you a successful life, but on your way to significance. Have a good week.
Tired of old, drafty, poorly crafted windows and doors that can't withstand Texas's hot summers and chilly winters? Turn to New South Window Solutions. As both the manufacturer and installer of custom replacement windows and doors, their high-quality products are built specifically for the Texas climate. New South's windows and doors are energy efficient and will keep your home comfortable all year round. Plus, with the lifetime guarantee, you can trust that their products will stand the test of time. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more and schedule your free in-home consultation. And going on now, when you buy two products, you'll get the third free. Upgrade your home with two New South windows or doors, and the third product and installation are absolutely free. Act now and save big. Head to NewSouthWindow.com today to learn about the customization options available and schedule your free in-home consultation. Don't miss the opportunity to upgrade your home with the ultimate window from New South Window Solutions. Learn more today at NewSouthWindow.com.